Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to be talking about an energy field that you haven't heard of before. And you're walking around with it. It's an amazing new discovery. I guess it's a discovery. It's something that we're not familiar with. And it's identifiable by machines. So it's not a figment of anyone's imagination. This is for real. This is an energy field that we can work with and create better health for ourselves. And it's wonderful to have an opportunity, a new opportunity to work with energy in a way that we haven't known before. So I'm so excited to talk about it. To me, it's a major breakthrough. And to help us talk about it is a man who's behind this whole movement. And his name is John Whale, and he's a guest on today's show. John, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you could join us because I'm fascinated, and I'm sure you are, because I know how dedicated you are to this from the literature I've read. And you're helping us find our way. Can you explain this energy field to us in... We only have a half-hour show, so I know we could probably talk for hours about it, but how can you describe it briefly?
Well, we are an energy body at the physical level, and it's an energy system, and every energy system at the quantum level has a direction of rotation. And so there has to be an epicenter of that rotation. And the epicenter of the energy field of a human being is called the assemblage point. It's the assemblage point of man. And it is correctly located pretty much in the center of the chest.
So it's right about where the heart chakra would be.
Yes, it should be.
Okay.
but with Western man, it tends to be slightly to the right of the center, up and down center meridian line. And it with females, it generally is a little bit higher, slightly to the right with females when compared with males.
And why do you suppose that females would have a different location than?
I think that's because they have a slightly higher vibrational rate, and their feelings are more, you know, more towards their heart chakra than men. So it tends to be somewhat higher.
I like that. And then why is it slightly to the right?
I think perhaps if one takes on board the left brain, right brain theories that have been going around for the last 20 years or so, 30 years, it's because we, in our lifestyle, we are predominantly left brain. In other words, we are thinking a lot and dealing with money, tax issues, logic, mathematics, all of those kinds of things, which tend to be right brain, left brain activities, I beg your pardon.
Uh-huh.
So, whereas with the right brain, right side of the brain, it's thought that we are more, that's more of a spatial, dreaming, spatial, musical side of the brain.
More the esoteric side.
And I've not really seen too many people with an assemblage point on the left side of the meridian line. I've only ever seen them on the right side.
And we're talking about healthy people.
We're talking about healthy people, people that are well balanced, that pretty much can handle the situations that life throws at all of us, without being too off-center, let's put it that way, without having to shift off-center.
Right.
emotional feeling types, and especially introvert types of people, their assemblage point is not so well fixed. It's called the stationary assemblage point because it tends to be in a fixed position. And emotional feeling types, particularly introvert types, it is much easier to move around by trauma, by use of substances, and by anything that life, intimidation, rape, anything that life can throw at us at any time. They're more susceptible to shifts in the assemblage point and shifts into a detrimental location.
What would you suppose is the percentage of people on this planet who have their assemblage point in a natural, healthy location?
Well, I can't speak for America because I've never been there. But, I mean, just pulling something out of thin air from the people I know, I would say perhaps 60% are well-positioned, maybe 70, and the remainder have problems and may report mental health problems and insomnia problems, all kinds of different health issues. Certainly with those people that have been ill for a long time, regardless of the illness, it certainly will almost certainly be in a detrimental location. And the problem with that is much deeper, because it shifts the way the body works. And if it's in a detrimental location, let's say down in the liver for a long time, which would be the case with chronic fatigue, chronic depression, postnatal depression, those types of depressive illnesses, I've noticed that the hematology and the biochemistry can change. And then this gives rise for more serious disease to set in.
Now, we're talking about this assemblage point being located near the liver rather than over the heart chakra or through the heart chakra.
If it drops down to the liver and it fixes itself in the liver area, then you certainly will be in a depressive situation.
All right, now
and
I want.
It's very, very difficult for it to be moved up by its own accord, and actually often requires intervention.
Oh, we're going to talk more about that, but right now I just want to describe how this energy field looks visually. If you were seeing somebody from a distance, it's these lines of energy focus into the heart area, and there are two spherical parts to this. One comes out of the heart, up and around and over the head, and the other comes out of the heart and around and then down below the feet. And so the one from the heart over the head is more circular looking, and the one from the heart down below to below the feet is more of an egg-shaped look.
Yes and no. I would describe it to a bit more like a donut with a hole in the middle, a very tiny hole, which is the epicenter of that field. The way it's drawn in the books, there are plenty of representations on the internet, the way that I've drawn it seems to be a rational way to draw it so that people can get a grasp of the fact that they have a field of energy around them, some of it electromagnetic, some of it we don't know what it is, how it's formed or what it's constructed of. And it is an egg, actually, overall, over the whole of the height of the human being, it is a kind of an egg-shaped encompassment. It's completely egg-shaped. It's just that to show that it's donut-shaped, on the drawings, I've drawn the lines coming in to the center of the chest. The assemblage point is only about probably 1 centimeter or a quarter of an inch or so in diameter. And it's where all of the energy is rotating from in the body and around the body.
Now this point,
it could be better understood if we take it as an unborn infant in the womb, a fetus. It is fed via the umbilical cord, and the energy field, the epicenter of the energy field is at the umbilical region. When we're born and then we start breathing, our vibrational rate changes and the assemblage point then moves up to a point in the chest.
Well, I like the fact that it's in the heart area, the heart chakra area.
Well, it has to be in the sense that we are emotional beings. To a greater or lesser degree, we're all emotional beings. We feel things. We're not like a rock or a tree or something like that, or a plant. We actually feel things, and we're affected. And how our energy field is modulated with the feelings and the way we are, and our personality and everything else about us is modulated in that energy field.
Well, what fascinates me is that you can actually locate this with instruments.
It's not so easy to locate with instruments. Seems to have, with infrared imagery, about 0.2 of a degree Celsius, which is a very small amount, 0.2 degrees Celsius, lower temperature than the surrounding, the immediate surrounding area. So there's a slight dip.
Well, that's a discernment.
As if there was a hole in the energy field.
Right, so that is a discernment. And then there are infrared bioscanners, and then also we can test this and find it using muscle testing.
You can find it easily by muscle testing. You can, when you know how to, you can see them. When you know you've got one, and you know where your own assemblage point is, and you have direct experience of where it is, you can locate other people's assemblage point and see where theirs, how and where they're situated. Mm-hmm. And they're very easy to feel for. You can use two hands, one hand at the back of a person and one hand at the front. And when you move across the assemblage point, back and front, you get an energy connection. And as you move in with your hands closer and closer to the body, you can find the exact location. The situation with the assemblage point is that we all have to wear one. And actually, they're quite uncomfortable. If you push with your thumb or your finger on the location of a person's assemblage point, they will feel that like you're touching something that is very personal and very deep inside them, and which they can't explain.
And it's tender there as well, right?
It's tender, and if you keep your finger there for, let's say, 5, 10, 15 seconds, when you take your finger away, there will be a red mark, quite often a red mark.
Uh-huh.
And the most important thing to understand is the entry angle of it as well. So the angle of which all of the lines come into the center of the chest can vary, vary quite dramatically from one person to another. So if the entry angle is coming in at the front from a high angle, then the person is elevated in mood. If it's coming in from a low angle, then they're depressed in mood. But mood swings are normal. The actual location doesn't change. It's just the entry angle that changes.
That's so interesting. Now, let's talk about... Go ahead. I know. Keep going,
I think,
please.
What I should point out there, that the actual structure of the assemblage point, we are proposing to be that of a toroid, a toroidal structure, like the toroid of a storm, a central storm, or a galaxy, or a magnetic field. It's toroidal in structure, which keeps it in place and holds it in place.
All right, now let's talk about what it all means in terms of our health. We talked about it earlier, and when we have, we're in very dire straits in life. It could be a life-threatening illness. It could be even a life, a condition of relationships, or you know, struggle in our emotional lives.
And in our practical lives, too. It could be legal intimidation, violent intimidation, banking intimidation. It could be any. Intimidation is one of the big shifters of the assemblage point to detrimental locations. If I'm, for example, somebody intimidates me, which doesn't happen very often, it tends to make my assemblage point move, not the assemblage point, but the angle move to the right. And I become, as the adrenaline levels go up, and mine moves to the right side of the chest, and actually it exits out on the left shoulder blade when that happens. Wow. And it can take several days for it to the angle to return as I calm down from some type of dramatic intimidation.
Well, I know a lot of people who have had traumatic events in their lives, and afterwards they say they just don't feel the same. They don't know themselves in the same way anymore.
That would be a shift in the assemblage point.
Okay.
A correction back to the original position, or better, to the central position, would return their feelings, their original perception of themselves and their original tunnel realities. I personally have had a low assemblage point a long time ago, 30 years ago now. And your life tends, it was down in the liver, and whereas if I think, well, I'll go and cut the grass, well, I'll certainly today, I will get up and cut the grass. But as an example, but when I was in that condition, whatever I thought of, my body refused to cooperate.
And so you, how did you recover from that?
I was fortunate enough to have a meeting with a Red Indian shaman, American Indian shaman.
Uh-huh. And he knew about this assemblage point?
He knew about this, yes.
So the Native Americans have been familiar with this assemblage point, or just his particular tribe?
I think it's been a closely guarded secret up until... up until the time of the books by Carlos Castaneda, the American writer Dr. Carlos Castaneda. He wrote a lot about the assemblage point in his books, particularly his book The Fire from Within. So then it became, a big question to all of his readers. What is it exactly? And I was one of his readers when I took the children on holiday every year. A new book came out, and I was able to read his book on the beach.
So then you needed to translate that into your life, and then you met with somebody who knew about this.
Yes, I met, as I said, an American Indian who was in Devon, in the United Kingdom. He was giving a workshop about American tradition. And on the third day of the workshop, the assemblage point came up as a subject.
And then you went to see him, and he found that yours was in the liver.
At that workshop, they wanted volunteers to have their assemblage point checked. So I was, of course, immediately there in front, and the first person to have it corrected. And when he corrected my assemblage point, two yellow streams of fluid, one from each armpit, came out of the armpit and dropped and dripped off the elbow, each elbow, and I knew that that it was a major change in the way I was feeling, and it actually, I recovered all my former dignity and former hard-working self and fun-loving, hard-working person that I was overnight. And although it took me time to reassemble that which had fallen apart during the previous 18 months or so, it did correct me immediately.
Now, how was it corrected?
He used... I knew the procedure because I have, years before, practiced many mystical and esoteric disciplines. And one of them was pranayama, which is special breathing exercises. So I had to do a special breathing exercise, which was basically breathe in and pause, breathe out and pause three or four times. And when I was ready, I had to hold my breath and close the bottom gateway of the body, which is squeeze the muscles in the anus area and the sphincter muscles, and also close the top gateway, which was the throat muscles. It's called in yoga applying the bandhas. And at that point, he put a very large rose, I don't mean very large, polished, finely polished rose quartz crystal on the point where it was, and with his right hand, and with his left hand, he put that on the back location, and he dragged the assemblage point up and shifted it over to the center, and then slapped me on the head to make me let go of my breath and let go of the mandas, and it was corrected. It's called manual correction.
Now, is that the only... Yes, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, I interrupted.
I was going to ask you if that's the only way that it can be corrected.
No, it can be corrected in many ways by he'd said that tribal dancing, ritual dancing, practices such as sweat lodge and running a sweat lodge and attending ritualistic practices can. Corrected. He also said that certain types of ecstatic sexual practices would bring it to the center.
That's so fascinating. And what about the use of crystals?
What about the use of them? Well, you can shift an assemblage point with pretty much anything if you know what you're doing. You don't need a crystal. Crystal just is a tool. Like a spanner, to get hold of that nut so that you can hold it, or like a pair of pliers, in order to move it around and put it into a new position. But you certainly do need the absolute attention and cooperation of the person receiving the shift. That is the difficult part. Because for somebody who is chronically ill, that then becomes a great difficulty.
Right, because a lot of people are holding on to their illnesses, are stuck in patterns too.
Well, whether they are or not, it's a fact that actually practicing or doing the breathing exercises in a sufficiently strong way and applying the locks or the bandas to hold that trapped prana that's accumulated with the breathing exercise between the throat lock and the sphincter lock, that is quite a difficult thing for somebody who is very ill to attend to or to perform. Uh-huh. So then it's very difficult to shift an assemblage point manually from somebody that's chronically ill.
I see. So this
and it might need several attempts. Even if you're a very skilled practitioner, it could take several attempts.
Now, you're not in the United States, and where are you located?
I live in East Devon, on the south coast of the United Kingdom.
Okay.
I look out to sea into the English Channel, So I can smell the garlic and the Gauloise from France when the wind blows.
That's great. Now, people are going to want to know more about this. How can they contact you or go to a website?
Well, my name is John Whale, as in Moby Dick Whale. And it's John without the H. So Google or any of the search engines will pull me up. Or you can simply type in the assemblage point. And it's there are so many people that have got websites now, although I was the first to do the write-ups and the publications, that there's a lot of information on the internet freely available now. And if anybody would like the copies of the full-colored e-books, if any of your listeners would like to receive them, they only have to email me and mention your name and your program, and I will send them full-color e-books gratis.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. So, and so you've been working with us now for many years, and are you? I guess people are traveling to you for your help.
I don't operate a public clinic in these times because I am so overworked with other aspects of it, the passing the knowledge out, the publication of papers, operating the directorship of a company. But I do see people, and I do train people, and I do make referrals to other people. So it's not so... And I want to reassure your listeners and you that it is possible just by reading the books to acquire the techniques, because they're so well illustrated. And there's 300 illustrations in The Naked Spirit in full color, so it is possible for a practical, you know, a person who wants to find out and research it themselves to do it directly from the precise instructions I've recorded all in the books and on the internet and various other places too.
Well, I'm very excited about this because it creates an opportunity, a healing opportunity that so many people have no idea about. It's an opportunity to get better in ways that so many people haven't been able to.
It's an extremely important subject. If you know your location of your own assemblage point, you can keep track of your health because you can just feel for it with your finger on your chest. And like I've just found mine now, which is in its typical position, which is 1 inch, well, 3/4 of an inch from the center meridian line on the right side of the chest, you know, in a position that it normally falls into without any attention to it.
I think I've also been able to find mine using muscle testing.
Yes. If there are instructions on the internet, on our internet websites, how to locate it for yourself, how to locate your assemblage point, it's very relatively easy to locate, for anybody to locate an assemblage point if it's in a reasonably good position. It starts getting tricky to locate when you're dealing with assemblage points that have been in a detrimental, or they are in a detrimental location. And it's also very easy for charlatans to operate with the assemblage point when they don't know anything at all about it, because of the sheer amount of people that are looking for some solution to their issues.
Right, they could just tell people, you know, but a lot of energy healers can do that too. They can just say, oh, I've healed you energetically, and nobody knows the difference.
Yeah, that's right. It's that's the big problem with these things. It's not like a hemograph or a hematology or biochemistry where it's there printed in front of you, and you can see if you've got it right or wrong and you've made changes to it. It's a little bit more difficult.
Well, John,
if somebody corrects it and locates it and corrects it,
John Whale, We've run out of time, and this has been fantastic. You've been wonderful. I thank you so much, and I'm so happy you're doing this work and helping so many people this way.
So, well, thank you for the opportunity to talk.
Right. Thanks for being a guest on Energy Stew. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com or PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.